Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
For the day, you prep for a year, and when the day is finally here, it's the cultaholic.com month in review for December!
November.
In November!
Yeah.
Before November!
What is going on?
November!
It's November, everyone.
It's November.
Well, it's not. It's December, but we're looking back at the month of November with very fond memories because it was a beefy, meaty,
girthy,
punky month, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and we're here to talk about the big wrestling news, the moves, the shakes from November of 2023, and I am joined to my very far left, and indeed to everybody's very far left, Cultaholic's very own Fraser Porter.
I'm hyped to be here, Tom. It's another month, another day of discussing the news. We love the news here at Cultaholic.
Kids love the news.
The kids love this news podcast.
I tell you what else kids love. To my left, we call him in the office now the true cult of personality, Aidan Gibbons.
That is me, thank you, Tom.
We should talk about the Christmas party before we get started.
We should, yes.
Fucking hell.
It was a time. So, we had a lovely time with all our friends. We had a lovely free bar and karaoke.
We did too much karaoke. Yeah.
What a deadly combination.
I know.
We also went to a shooting range, not a real one, a virtual shooting range.
Yeah, guns are banned in the United Kingdom.
They are, but it was a really fun range, wasn't it? Did you have fun?
I enjoyed it.
I came third, boys.
And that's because you're a pure sweater, though.
I'm not a pure sweater. Have you seen the difference in the points that Alex got compared to
I
got?
Yeah.
There was a 200-point difference.
But didn't they find out Alex Winters from Triple Jump basically does VR in his spare time, basically?
He is a walking weapon like Josh Alexander.
See, I missed that bit because myself and Adam Pacitti basically sat and let the kids go and play. I was sat at the teacher's table. We just had pints. It was lovely.
Mr. Head Boy over there.
I was a head boy. I just sat and had a few beers with Adam and we just... We shot the breeze while you were shooting things on the screen.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Alex Winters, who is a name you might not hear on our channel very much, but he's one of our fabulous video editors for Triple Jump and also a fine shooter as well.
I'm still salty though. I should have won.
You should be. Yeah, I imagine you would be salty still.
Right. I'm ready to punch him. Like the tension is palpable. They gave us medals, right? And we've got them, and they're all gold. There's no stakes there.
It was madness as well because Richard Tubman, who is famous for the Cultaholic podcast, he came fourth and got a medal.
Yeah. Participation medals.
I know Tubman came second.
Did he?
Big Dick came second.
Who came fourth?
There was a lot of support for
Big Dick. Always
that
comes
was
second.
Ben Ashton's Ben.
Ah, yes, Ashton's.
It was there was a lot of support for the Big Dick in the shooting range.
Well, I'm glad that Big Dick got the love on the range.
There was a lot of people. It is very big.
It is very culty downstairs with Richard Tubman. Mm. But I mean, he is a very handsome boy.
Very handsome boy. Very well dressed boy as well. So after the shooting range, it was off to a bar where there were drinks and karaoke and just good times had. Aidan Gibbons sang Cult of Personality.
Yes, I'm a filthy mark.
You are just a little
did some,
bit.
Yeah, we figured this out before we started. Did somebody request Cult of Personality twice?
Possibly.
Would there two versions of Cult of
I mean, there's the 2023 remaster and then there's the original, so possibly.
Obviously, we sang both.
We sang both.
Who sang Like a Prayer by Madonna? Because it wasn't me.
I did.
You did, didn't you, as well? You did as well.
Because I did it last year.
Yeah.
At a different party where I sang Like a Prayer and I thought, fuck it, I'll do it again.
Do it again.
It's a Christmas tradition.
Play
now.
The hits.
It was good. You did a good performance.
My voice is too deep to sing anything. I cannot hit a high note to save my life.
What one? I did 500 Miles, me and Matthew Stewart, my fellow Scot.
Oh, you did.
500 Miles, which was good fun. We were stereotyped into it. The DJ came up to us and went, I hear your accents. You've got to... got to be doing this.
You just went, "Och wee, are you there, laddie?"
To which you should have said to him, "All right, then. In that case, you're going to sing again. That's living, all right, from Alvina Zephyr."
Yeah.
Exactly. Or you just sing anything by Jimmy Nail.
You say "Fog on the Tyne." There he is with Gaza.
Oh, yes, that would have been a better better answer. I was singing "Fog on the Tyne."
I requested "Smash Your Pasty" by the Buzzcocks.
Did you? Did you?
didn't go for it, which is a shame. I was going to karaoke it.
That was the one thing that was missing from the Christmas party was an appearance from Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, we all were desperate for a Paul Gascoigne appearance.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, yeah.
Who was the latest out? Because we called time at what? Half 11, quarter 12?
Yeah.
I left at 9:15.
So I believe it was Jack King. Because
of course it was Jack King.
I think the players shut at midnight and there was still £70 on the bar.
So
they all bought shots and downed them. So there was some very sore heads the next morning.
Oh.
But I think it was Jack King, Ryan, Luke, the video editor, and Big Dick Tubbs. They all went to a bar afterwards.
Oh, wow. They carried on after? Yeah. Where'd you go from there?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a Friday night in Newcastle. There's many places
But we were kind of on the outskirts. Yeah. Like, you'd have to get a taxi. And getting taxis was a nightmare on that Friday.
Well, I mean, I left at 9:15 and it was a breeze.
Oh.
Got one that dropped me off at home, then dropped Atkins off at his hotel.
See, you had the night that I should have had, because I was on air on Radio Newcastle at 6 a.m. the following day.
Yeah.
So I got in at about, like, after we got dropped off. And bless Aidan, he went, "Get in the taxi with me. I'll drop you off on my way home." So, and I don't think I got into bed till like midnight, and my alarm went off at 3:30.
Yeah.
I was like, so this is a fun day.
You know how you post a photo every time you're on air?
Yes.
That one, you did look very tired.
I looked awful. You were like, oh, do you know what? It was weird because I felt awful, but like, I was in the room. And I was like, this is great. Until about 9 o'clock, and to which the newsreader, a lovely chap by the name of Chris Middleton, went, "You're probably still a bit drunk from the night before."
Probably.
I was like, yeah, that's true, actually.
What time did you finish on BBC Radio?
10 a.m.
I could have gone back to bed after.
I think, I'm trying to think what we did.
Went back on it, went to the pub.
Did we have a hair of the dog? We might have had a hair of the dog. No, we had a hair of the dog, and then I think did we go to the Metro Centre?
On a Saturday?
Yeah.
That is madness.
Yeah, we might have done. What was that the weekend before? Either way, we got through it. It was a lovely Christmas party.
I was in here Saturday morning, working hard, grafting.
Doing the grafting. Giving us the news.
Absolutely. Delivering the news that we're about to talk about, eh?
And let's get into what happened in the wrestling world in November of 2023. The small matter of a return that took place in the embers of November, as the light was dying in this particular month, a landmark, seismic return to WWE that, as we have talked about at length, we did not see coming, lads.
No, I didn't expect R-Truth.
Aiden, go for it. Talk about it.
So R-Truth was there?
He was indeed. Where was he?
Well, this was a big debate, wasn't it? It was sort of, there he was, popped up, Ruffles crisps or chips.
This is Survivor Series.
Mm. Yeah, Survivor Series backstage, the show sponsored by Ruffles, which I believe in the UK has the most manly name. It's the,
is it the Bugles?
No, it's like the
McCoys.
It's like the McCoys Max Ridgecut Superstar Bomb Crisps.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck me, like, there's nothing more manly than these crisps, because apparently Ridgecut crisps equals men.
I want crisps that are going to hurt me as I eat them.
And sweat. That's all it is.
Honestly, Ridgecut are better, right?
Oh, yeah, they are good.
Mm. Like,
they're better than normal.
Why is that, though?
I don't know.
When you get to the bottom of it.
More crunchy.
Is it the texture?
Texture, maybe.
You feel like you're getting more value because they're thicker.
And there's more flavor within the ridges.
Because the flavor dips into the valleys.
I'm less likely to eat a whole big crinkle cut crisp in one bite. I'd take nibbles of that.
So you're therefore,
whereas like a regular Walker's, taking a nibble, that's weird.
You get forward, really.
That's it, because when you get like a bag of Walker's, like if they've been through a little bit of a journey, then they're a little bit broken.
A little bit.
So you feel a bit like I've just got like a bag of just like
crumbs.
Dried potato crumbs here.
Yeah.
But with McCoy's, like they are very substantial. So they could survive like some difficult logistics.
They're like cockroaches.
Yeah, they'll keep on keeping on.
Long after
the asteroid drops.
That's UK zombie land, isn't it? It's just a wonder how from the search of McCoy's crisps.
Just cockroaches eating crisps. But they call them Ruffles in America, and then there was a lucrative sponsorship deal between WWE and Ruffles, which saw the return of R-Truth.
Yes, he was back. He appeared from outside beyond a sofa, was like, hello, it's me.
And
he was like, everybody, they're not chips, they're not crisps, they're Ruffles. And everyone went, hey, that's great, and did the R-Truth shuffle. Oh, no, the Ruffle shuffle.
The Ruffle shuffle, the Ruffle shuffle.
And then we haven't seen him since.
He might still be injured.
He might still be injured. They might have just said, could you definitely come back and do this Ruffles advert?
We need
advert,
you for
please?
This advert. Absolutely.
And then that looked to be it. But of course, the main event, all the baby faces from Raw that have been feuding with Judgment Day for 6 months. Drew McIntyre, of course, he's there too. There was a different return in that match that we'll cover later. Mm-hmm. But we also, I was sat there 3:55 in the morning, whatever time it was, going, well, that was a good show. Time for bed. Ready to go.
Time for bitty.
It'll suckle on the teeth, then I'll be off to sleep.
And then it was, all right, there we are. And then it was, nah.
An ambulance turns up.
I can just picture you sitting there at home. I know you weren't, you were here.
I was here,
but I can picture you sat at home, nightgown, nightcap.
About to blow the candle out. What?
I don't know why I'm Scrooge watching Survivor Series.
Walking around with your candle.
Yeah, watching it going, no, this is, you're a bit of indigested food. There's more gravy than the grave about you, punk.
Then it's fucking hell.
I'll be here all the earlier tomorrow, punk.
I mean, I was legitimately slightly annoyed that he did turn up, but as we'll cover. But it was mainly because I had to stay up until 7 a.m.
That's what.
Get on his level.
I know,
get on my level.
Unfortunately, I'm not built like you, Tom. You're built different.
I wouldn't be built like me because I'm a diabetes time bomb. But I think that's how this. Doing this gig changes returns like that.
Yeah.
Because I might be different because I still get excited by them. But obviously when people watch it as fans, like, oh my God, it's CM Punk. But for us, we're like, right, okay, right, we've got to do that. On it now. Everyone awake. Let's go. Yeah.
Well, it was Adam Pursuit. He just went, well, that's my weekend gone.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was CM Punk surprised us all.
Didn't surprise me.
Surprised us all except for Ace. With a big return, Survivor Series. Lads, there was absolutely no call in this. As far as I'm... Obviously, there's a few people that said it's going to happen and they've sort of... They've ridden the wave of endorphins from being right on it. But all the optics that sensible reporting goes by pointed to a no.
Yeah, everything was shaping up that way, wasn't it? It was strange how unanimous the no was.
And we do this from multiple sources, like literally everyone saying he's not going to be there because they've heard from multiple people in WWE, like even like higher ups in WWE, that CM Punk was not going to be there. People in creative were told that CM Punk was not going to be there. The top talent were told ahead of Survivor Series, CM Punk will not be here. But of course, what we come to find out is that this is all because it was a closely guarded secret between CM Punk, Nick Khan, WWE president, and chief content officer Triple H. They basically kept it all to themselves. And it was, I mean, it was a wonderful return.
It was a great moment, right? Like, that felt monumental.
I didn't let his werewolf howl. That was lovely.
like Pablo at 2 a.m.
Come on, give us cat. That's what he wanted, CM Punk wanted cat food.
Yes, give me cat food now, father! All the usual sources had said no, this isn't happening until, and as we've talked about this at length on the epilogue of Punkvember, but it was amazing how in those last few minutes,
it was legit 5 minutes before he came out,
where Sean Ross sat reported there's been a change.
He went my stance has changed.
Sorry.
A backstage area has been cleared. He went, surely not. And then it was like, oh fuck, he's there. And it was just, then it was, there was all hands on deck. But what we basically find out is, of course, as mentioned, Triple H, Nick Khan, CM Punk. They had a meeting the week beforehand, I believe on the Sunday, where they had a busy clear the air meeting. Everything came off quite nice. But it sounds like CM Punk was the one that approached them as opposed to WWE approaching him. And I think that's sort of one of the things that was part of the power dynamic in the sense that CM Punk will look at this and go, okay, I've got to be a nice man.
Yeah, they've not gone to him and gone, we need you. He's gone, oh, I need you guys.
Please, please,
please, please.
And that's probably what immediately changes, as you say, the power dynamic. Because obviously with AEW, Khan courted CM Punk for a long time.
For 2 years.
And it was all on CM Punk's terms. Whereas this, because Punk's gone to them, they've gone, look, all right, if you want to come in, you got to play our game. Yeah. And it does explain a lot of the way that this return has gone down.
I'm intrigued. As obviously, it was kept between Punk, Triple H and Nick Khan about their meeting on the 19th. But I'm intrigued as to how that went down, whether that was in person, whether that was on Zoom or whatever.
I like to think it was at like a little diner in Chicago.
Are they Mindy's in the back room of Mindy's, ushered through and it's all kept hush. But like if they went in person, I'm very surprised that didn't leak or anything got out about it. Because that's a mass... Oh, Triple H and Nick Khan are in Chicago. Sure, we've got a pay-per-view next weekend, but...
Might have been L.A. Has Punk got a house out
in L.A.?
I think he has,
It's the one that everyone was like, we own your house. We paid for your house. It's the L.A. one.
Fair. I like the idea that he's just like going, oh, like a Reuben, please. There he is, Reuben sandwich. Punk Wolfing is like, we'll get you some crackers. Come on, sit down.
Tony crackers. Carr. Tony Carr looking through the window, holding those hot dogs in brine. Memories.
Or not even that. All Tony Carr's cupboard is filled with now, which is so many hot dogs.
For anyone that hasn't listened to Punk Vember, that's
no. Let's not fill him in.
But if you
it's your fault for not watching and listening to every bit of content we drop.
But if you haven't listened, go and check it out now. There's a 6.5-hour omnibus just waiting for you out there.
And then afterwards, you can listen to the 2 hours that we put on top of that about his comeback. I don't think any outlet has been as deep into the Punk return as us three.
No.
We're Punk experts now.
Yeah.
We're Punk experts.
That's why we could sing Cult of Personality, and Punk, if anything, gave us our blessing.
I think, Punk would have loved it.
Punk spurts sounds disgusting.
It does sound pretty grim. Punk spurts.
We're punk spurts.
If you put an S at the very beginning, it sounds even worse.
That's why. Yeah.
I reckon that could be a T-shirt.
Punk spurts.
Punk spurts.
So the one thing we've talked about, and it's sort of been reported in numerous ways and on numerous platforms, is that this was a very close guarded secret to the point where even the main event did not know that this was going down.
Literally until... they're about to go through the curtain when everyone in the main event is clued in, basically going, right, this is the plan. Punk's appearing at the end. And of course, it all happens. And then we're sort of like, okay. Show goes off the air after Punk's roared and all that. Then Seth Rollins just goes, acker.
Oh, he does.
Absolutely bananas. Michael Cole's holding him back. He's just screaming at Punk, just yelling all these expletives, giving him the middle finger. Michael Cole's like, calm down, mate. And then what we then get reported on Fightful Select is even going through the curtain. Seth Rollins is looking for CM Punk backstage. Triple H is holding the back, going, come on, Seth, calm down. CM Punk's like, what's going on? I mean, what we've since found out in this situation is that it's all a work.
Yeah.
And that there is legitimate animosity between Seth Rollins and CM Punk. I mean, Seth Rollins called him a cancer earlier this year while wearing a cowboy hat and sunglasses, because that's the way to do it.
That's cool, yeah. Not only did he call him a cancer, he called a cancer to Nick Houseman. Who is the CM Punk whisperer.
Definitely going to get back to it.
Yeah, definitely.
He's like, hey, chick magnet. Someone's talking shit. And then, but we hear all this, and of course, we're still seeing it on Raw. We had a house show the next day where Seth Rollins continued to have a go at Punk. Mm-hmm. On the last two episodes of Raw, it's basically been set up that it looks like the director is CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And I believe Kermit the Frog on Reddit, he's confirmed that.
Big Kermit has confirmed that, saying that it's planned for the Royal Rumble, which
despite being called Kermit, he's been really good at this stuff.
Pretty spot on, isn't
he? So Kermit is a user on Reddit who is a known WWE insider and has been correct on a fair few points.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's given us some more. You know, it's going to be one of the big matches for Rumble.
Huge match.
Like, it's surprising they're not having that at Mania, but...
it wouldn't shock me with a trilogy.
They do like their gatekeeping Seth Rollins trilogies, don't they? You were in AEW. Come here and face Seth Rollins in a match, a three-series match where you'll lose.
Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania where Punk will win.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I don't mind the idea of doing Punk at the Rumble, Punk and Rollins at the Rumble, then Elimination Chamber, then maybe Mania.
I don't mind it, no.
Yeah.
I think that's all right, that. You could even play a bit of hot potato with the belt. I think that'd be all right.
Have a street fight or something between them to make it really personal. Ooh. Hangman street fight.
Punk finally nails the buckshot and just goes wink, wink.
Imagine he does it.
Because what we've also heard since is that Punk is not allowed to talk about AEW because they're all like wired up to NDA City, basically. Mm. But I mean, he can do little winks. I'm sure like that. Is that technically not, that's not a disclosure if you do someone's move?
No, it's if.
You just can't talk about
it. It depends what's in the NDA.
Yeah. You can't use a superkick ever again.
If you can't reference...
You can't even reference them.
If you can't reference them, that might be it. But we also, you know, like... WWE was never going to allow CM Punk to go on there and reference AEW, was he?
No.
Like, that would be
strange... Cody's done it, but Cody just does what Cody does.
But also, it's Cody's in a... Like, in a way where he's like, I was an EVP. It's not going, hey, I was in AEW and let's shit on the other company.
Yeah.
Whereas it looks really bad for a company to do that.
It's different, yeah. Like, if Punk does it, it's Punk punching down while Cody's been nothing but complimentary, basically.
But also being like, I'm in the big leagues.
That's true, yeah.
I could see Seth Rollins making some AEW shot at Punk. Once they finally start having those promos together, I could see an AEW reference.
I'll take you to the jungle.
No, boy. Like, oh. I'll take you to the jungle, boy.
It's real glass.
He just puts him through a hood of a car.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't just Seth Rollins that was
it was not
kicking off on the night.
It was a certain Scottish man.
Fraser not Porter.
Me. I was sound asleep when his return happened. I woke up and shit myself.
And then you read the news that Punk had come back.
Exactly. I was caked in it. And then I was like, seeing Punk's here? Oh, my God.
Let me clean myself up and then really look at this.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. This was like a childhood dream come true.
Filled my pants again. This was a big thing.
Phil quite literally filled them.
This was a big thing for you, was it? Because you were a big Punk fan. This was a big thing for you.
On my Desert Island Graps, I mentioned two of CM Punk's matches.
You did.
Two of them.
Two of them. Can you guess what ones?
Money Bank 2011.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
And it was Punk MGF dog collar match.
Was it?
Yeah, I adore that match.
You're not a true Punk fan. Where's Punk versus Joe 1, 2, or 3?
I've got them.
Oh, 4, 5?
They were all my second pick. I couldn't believe that he's back. I'm very excited that he's back. And when I woke up, I purposely didn't look at my phone because my phone, if I don't look at it properly, you can see what notifications you've got, but not what they are. And I saw like 20 on Slack. And I was like,
okay, something's happened.
Something has happened here. This is a Sunday morning. So let's watch Survivor Series. Got it. And it was like taking me back to Money in the Bank 2011. Having him walk out on a WWE stage. It was wild. Couldn't believe it. Shitting everywhere.
It's just an unbelievable experience. But Drew McIntyre is the other Scotsman that had a very volatile reaction.
And he didn't soil himself. I mean, Drew McIntyre, before Punk actually comes out, has already gone backstage holding his head, having been soaked. He's been told to go backstage. But upon getting backstage, Drew McIntyre is furious. He storms into the locker room, grabs his hoodie, puts it on, still covered in sweat undoubtedly, and storms out of the Old State Arena. And that was what the reports were saying. It's a bigger situation with Drew because what we've heard is that his contract is expiring around WrestleMania 40. And because of some personal matters and just stuff going on, talks haven't really commenced, but Drew is quite willing just to allow his deal to expire and he can have a little break. I believe it was that he hasn't been back to Scotland since he signed with WWE for an extended period. So all that's going on, but part of it with Drew was that CM Punk is back. That was part of his unhappiness. He's just basically gone, fuck this, and left on the streets of Chicago. But he wasn't the only one upset. So what we find out was that there was actually many members of the roster who were unhappy with Punk, and it was sort of, where is this going to go? But there were also some people happy. I believe it was Kofi Kingston and Bayley. They sort of greeted him when he comes backstage. Others are sort of looking at it and going, where's this going to go?
I think with the Drew thing, I think the way that's unfolding is, whilst there is some frustration with Drew...
Looks sound now.
It looks like that may, like the Rollins thing, have been somewhat of a worky work, because he was on the next night at the house show in Illinois.
Yep, and he made a reference to Punk there, didn't he?
No, he referenced some things being said about him on the internet.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, like, in allusion to that, and the fact that a lot of the reports that morning were Drew's pissed, annoyed at Punk.
Well, we led with it in one of the news videos, exactly. Drew walking out. But he did a promo where he also referenced the Iron Sheik, which I thought was fantastic. And then he was since back on Raw, and there's been a few things on Twitter that have kind of sort of furthered this idea that the story that we're playing with Drew is a bit of a worked shoot type thing, where he's making it clear that he's unhappy.
Yeah, frustrated.
And frustrated. And I think that will probably... I think a lot of punk stories are going to be in this sort of work shoot realm, because that's kind of how punk has always existed. So I think they'll be pulled into that with that, with him. And I don't think you need to do it too often. I think there's certainly a feud with Drew and Punk.
There's Drew, there's Rollins. You've got your feuds, obviously, Reigns at some point.
Well, that was another thing that was said by... Was it... Which report was it that said that Rollins and Reigns...
Sports Illustrated,
wasn't it? That not Rollins and Reigns. Punk and Reigns was a potential match down the line as well.
Yeah, and what we've heard since is that WWE's in no rush to get to it because they know it'll be massive. Mm-hmm. But... we don't know which major star it is, but one major star told Dave Meltzer basically going, they better get this within 6 months, because basically around Punk's uncertainty in that he can be a little bit of a backstage cannon, as we've covered extensively from his AEW time, and he's a bit injury prone.
Yeah, so he is. I'm intrigued, though, how the medical situation will be in WWE, because he won't be doing as tough matches.
As well,
yeah, it's safe for style. I imagine he will be quite well protected.
And not as regular.
We don't know what his schedule is going to be like wrestling at this point. He could be full-time, he could be part-time, he could be just special attraction sort of thing. But I'm intrigued to see how the style difference is. Like, he's not going to be having brutal slugfests. It's going to be...
No blading.
He'll be probably a bit safer in that regard, and he won't be allowed to jump into the crowd and hit his foot off the barricade and stuff like that.
We're going to say all this is now going to do straight away. Top of 30-foot ladder, jumps, elbow drop through the announce table.
Yeah.
So there's a lot... the Punk promo... So Punk turned up on Monday Night Raw the night after Survivor Series. And the whole show, it was hyped that we would hear from Punk for the first time. And I think he was meant to have maybe 15 minutes. I think he got eight.
He got six.
So it got cut due to Orton and Dirty Dom going long in the main event. And the promo left a lot of people feeling quite underwhelmed.
Yeah.
I think because the bar in terms of what he does was set so high during his AEW run. That first promo in AEW was
big,
passionate and aggressive and real. This didn't feel like that.
Especially when he said, "I'm home," and it, like, the sort of reaction was going, "Are you though?"
The crowd popped for it, but I didn't buy it.
I didn't think he was home.
I've watched that a few times and looked in his eyes. I don't buy that man thinks he's home.
Because, I mean, Punk's home is surely Ring of Honor, if anything.
Yeah. Mm. I'm off a slightly different mindset to it.
That's because you think WWE knows best.
WWE knows best, to quote a great ambassador, Jackie Atkins. No, it's not that I thought it was a genuine promo or anything, or that was a real line. I think it was intentionally done as a way to have a mask slip. Mm. I think, especially that line he said off camera, where it was like, "I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money," and he stuck his tongue out halfway through money. I think he's the more the character we're going for. Him being disingenuous, him believing what the character of Punk will believe that and will portray that, but really he's here to just be the guy that he wasn't before, like trying to reclaim that spot when everyone hates him. And especially the fact that we've got Rollins working it, we've got Drew working it. If he's going, "Hey, everyone loves me," and they're going, we fucking don't.
Yeah. That line, I think, yeah, the telltale thing was that, was him saying, "I've changed." And also the bit where he was like, "It's all hugs and kisses backstage. Everyone's happy to see me," which is where I think a lot of people have just seen it, are taking it on face value as just being a very, very white meat safe promo. But like Fraser says, there's probably something in the fact that this is like a mask.
Yeah, I think it's going to slip at some point. Seth's feud with him will be the one that it drops fully. We'll get us. I feel like Rollins will be the one that's booed in that feud when we get it.
I think even if Punk's a heel, he'll get cheered.
What, Punk?
Yeah, Punk. Yeah, what did I say?
Punk, yeah, Rollins will get booed. Punk will get cheered. And I think, but that would be, Rollins will be that justified being like, "No, look, guys, that's the real CM Punk. That mask is slipping." Because right now, Punk's character is enjoying the smell of his own farts and just being like, "I'm here, I'm home. You guys love me, but I'm here only for the money. I don't really care about you guys."
Because the other thing as well is that when that mask slips, what does Punk start saying? Because surely Punk can't come out and go, "I hate this place. Oh, it made me ill. I hate being here.
No, because
that's very, that's not the WWE way to, to insult the company.
He needs to change it up and be corporate punk rather than anti-corporate punk.
He's going to put suits on and everything.
Start drinking BrewDog.
Yeah, absolutely. That, yeah. I think just needs to come in and
buys a gilet.
Acknowledge. Yeah, imagine.
Gilet punk.
Just acknowledge the fact that he did come back for money and he doesn't really care what the fans think. Mm. And that's the character I think they need to go with eventually when they turn him heel, rather than this whole, I'm better than you because I'm straight edge. Mm.
And you know it.
I came back for the money, but I'm still also the best wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, speaking of straight edge, though, I did get a message from one.
CM Punk.
Jackie Orlando.
Oh!
So.
We have. I was going to say, we normally start with a Jackie Orlando.
No, I forgot.
But oh, that's fine. I forgot too.
With the straight edge news.
But congratulations on your hard fought remembering.
Thank you. Thank you.
We saw him in person, though.
We did see him.
We did see him in person.
Okay. So, telegram received from Stockton-on-Tees, December 4th, 2023. So, this has just arrived a day late at the time of recording. Hello. I was planning on finding all three of yous and dish out some well-deserved slaps, but I got lost en route and I've instead decided to hang around Stockton for a few days. Lovely people here. Reports have suggested that a miserable straight-edge twat has made his long-awaited return to his former home, but I can assure you I have alibis for all my recent activities. Your pal, Daytime Ken Brown.
Ken Brown.
Daytime Ken Brown.
P.S. I reckon he's gone by SummerSlam 2024.
Oh.
So there we go.
There's a man that's here to make money and not friends. Daytime Ken Brown. A.K.A. Jackie Orlando checking in.
So he thinks Punk will be gone SummerSlam 2024.
Wow.
When do you think he'll be gone?
I think by Mania 41.
I
think a bit longer.
I'm a bit more confident this time. Mm-hmm. But the track record is that he gets into a fight at least once a year.
Yeah, but on average.
I do think he will be there until 43.
Oh, okay.
I think he'll go for the full length of the contract.
We don't know how long it is, though.
I think full length of the contract, if it's 3 years, 43. And I think he might sign an extension.
Like a Legends deal.
I think he might stick around.
He's like 55.
He knows that this is the last opportunity for him. And the last place to make a big boatload of money. I imagine he's not struggling for money, but it's not very good to be fired from the last place of employment.
I think if you've got a big home in LA, then you could probably do with bringing some money in.
That's true.
And a hot place in Chicago as well.
Yeah, you're going to need a regular income.
Pay that rent.
Larry Toy's ACL, photos how much vet bills.
Oh, there you go.
His doggy ACL.
His doggy ACL.
Larry's doggy ACL is all knackered up. So, I mean, we will keep an eye. Hey, look, CM Punk wasn't the only return, nor was R-Truth. There was another return at Survivor Series, wasn't there, Aiden?
There was. He was a very handsome, very pumped up man.
Oh, very pumped up.
But this return was so much usurped by CM Punk that he's literally our second story.
Mm.
But Randy Orton returns.
Randall Keith is
back. Randall Keith.
Randall
Keith.
Na 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 na. Randall Keith. Randall Keith. Randall Keith.
Yes.
Randy Orton's back, baby.
He is. I mean, he'd been gone for ages. May 2022, when he was taken out by the Bloodline. He's been
Bloodline.
Gone. I also went to say Riddle. He's been gone so long. Riddle's been fired.
absence
in his time. But taken out by the Bloodline. Comes out from, he's basically doing the RKO for 20 years. Of course, his back's ruined.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a serious back injury, had to undergo back fusion surgery. The injury was so severe that doctors actually told him he should retire. But Randy Orton, don't listen to no doctors, brother. So there he was back. And emerged basically in that August 2023 that he was planning for the return. He was training at Performance Center. It all looked like all systems go. And then we find out mid-November, basically, that the plan is for WWE to bring back Randy Orton. He's going to be the fifth member of War Games. Because, I mean, it was originally going to be Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, and
Seth Rollins.
Yeah. How could I forget the World Heavyweight Champion?
Yep.
Against Judgment Day. Drew then joins Judgment Day. We're like, okay. And Cody Rhodes basically starts cutting the most, do you get it? Yes. Do you know who it is? Promos. We're like, Jesus Christ.
God,
I've got an Apex Predator.
Those aren't just voices you're hearing in your head.
His name is Uda, and he's in our stomachs.
Got the yeah,
it, got it was, Simpsons joke.
It was very
Simpsons. He's got yeah. a legacy. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Hardcore Holly's back. That's amazing.
Yeah, God, imagine his last Hardcore Holly's last match. You know what it was in WWE.
His last match in WWE. Yeah,
when did he leave WWE?
It was his last match.
Was it would have been against Ted DiBiase Jr.
So it was Hardcore Holly teaming with Cody Rhodes to face the team of Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr. at Night of Champions.
Was that his last match?
Final
match?
So that was his final match. He lost the World Tag Team titles to Cody and Ted DiBiase Jr. Never appeared on WWE TV again and then was fired in 2008.
Bloody hell. I thought you might have had like a revenge match against Ted Jr. Or something.
Like a house show thing against R-Truth or something. But
yeah. I'm just a big Bob Holly fan, so you know, I just had to know that.
I hope he's all right.
Oh, he's doing all right. He's got shitty tattoos now.
They're awful, aren't they?
They're bad.
He's just as miserable too.
Well, I hope he's just making ends meet and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough time.
But tell you who's got some great... He's not got great tattoos. Randy Orton.
Ah, you couldn't even do that as a bit. Tell you who's got great... Ah, fuck it, he hasn't.
He's not got great tattoos. Randy Orton's back. Yeah, we're there.
So that was what we had. It was sort of the Monday before Survivor Series. Cody's like, come on, kids, get the reference. And then we just think, fuck it, we're announcing this. References. And it's made official. Randy Orton's back for Survivor Series.
And it was done as a way to throw off people thinking it was going to be Punk.
Yes.
If they kept it as a mystery partner, then I think that would have kind of kept the question marks over whether or not Punk was coming back.
But then WWE did something very weird doing Survivor Series that made what they did on Monday just pointless. Which we'll get to. But basically, they announced Randy Orton's coming back because the perception is they don't want to use a mystery partner because then people would assume it is Punk. And of course, it wasn't Punk. Punk turned up later. But then when Survivor Series starts, you've got the first match. And then at the end of the first match, you've got a backstage segment between Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, and then Jey Uso and the sort of things like, Randy Orton's not in the building. And Jey Uso's like, oh my God, it's my fault. I took him out. I feel so bad. And Sami's like, later, he's still not in the building. Then the match starts. Randy's still not there. But every time they were doing this, it was just needing a CM Punk chance.
I think that's they've gone, when they got him signed, they went, okay let's we'll lean into the fact that so that we have CM Punk chants throughout the night, so then the pop's even
bigger
when it happens.
But then there it was. Basically, Randy Orton wasn't going to have Cody Rhodes' entrance for his entrance. He was going to have the big special moment. Mm. And there it was. Well, everyone's in the ring except him. I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They understand. Yeah. Whatever the rest of the words are. And then he made his way to the ring, hit RKOs, did a weird roar. It was a night for weird roars.
He's got a fucking parcel tongue.
Right? He was like, blah, blah, blah. Then does a draping DDT and then basically wins the match because he hits a huge RKO on JD McDonagh after he's chucked off the top of the little platform on the top of the cage. And then they let his old mate Cody pick up the win. Yeah. Babyface's win. We go, wasn't that lovely?
Phenomenal reaction for Randy Orton.
Especially because it was the first time in 18 months since we'd seen him.
And he looked great. He energized. He looked happy to be there.
Yeah.
Just what a treat. How great to have him back.
Massive.
And he is huge, massive. Yeah.
That boy.
He's certainly been on the pumping there. Yeah. What they call dumbbells.
That's
dumbbells.
I'm sure that's the only thing he's been doing. He is a big, big boy
now. He's been absolutely downing the whey protein.
I said it on the news this morning, but he looked like his character from All Stars, the video game.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Like he's beefy, he's girthy. He's bigger and girthier than the Cultaholic podcast. Couldn't believe the size of him.
Massive boy.
But since his return as well, of course, he's going straight back to the main event scene. He signed exclusively with SmackDown because he wants revenge on the Bloodline. And, I mean, it certainly looks like it's going to be him against Roman Reigns at the Rumble.
Which you wouldn't imagine we'd ever say it, but it feels like a fresh match, as you said in the news video that we shot this morning, Fraser.
But I think they were saying it's been 7 years since our last... Really? Pay-per-view singles match. Mm. I think it was, I think it was 9 years. I think it was SummerSlam 2014.
That's crazy.
It was like the last singles pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
So is it the same year that Punk left was the last time we had Orton versus Reigns?
Yeah.
So everything that's old is new again.
Yeah. Basically, yes, because I'm sure we had Rollins against Punk at the time when they had the Shield feud.
So two big names back in the mix for WWE heading into 2024. How about we add a brand new name? Here's something that... could potentially be quite tasty going into the new year involving a massive name from New Japan.
Industry altering, potentially.
Potentially industry altering Aiden Gibbons. Who are we talking about?
Kazuchika Okada.
Mm.
So what we've heard, this is from Dave Meltzer, and it was just sort of, because the way Dave sort of writes the wrestling observer newsletter, it just it's like
chaos. Surrounded by envelopes
on his on his Windows 95 computer, where it's just sort of like little sort of like a huge story could just be sort of alongside R-Truth eats crisps. And Alexa Bliss, doesn't she love candles? And in the middle, it'll just be, oh, yeah, WWE have renewed their interest in Kazuchika Okada. And we're just like, what?
he's got no sense of incredible work on the Wrestling Observer, but he has no understanding of the inverted pyramid of where you have all the most important information at the top and you drip feed it down.
Or even just put on your important news.
It should be at the top.
Highlighted, yeah.
But it should be at the top. Like, Okada's got a much bigger newsworthiness than
WWE ticket sales and
Alexa Bliss's love of candles. Yeah,
like, he must just write it
and go, like, "Oh,
stream of conscience as he goes."
I mean, what scares me is he's got an editor. Like, that bloke has got the easiest job in the world.
That man doesn't do work.
Or he's the worst at his job.
No, exactly. He's terrible. He just fuck all.
Yeah, he's probably listening to this now, going, "Oh, I'll try really hard." We don't know. We don't know what the observer looked like before.
Yeah.
We don't know what it looked like before, so we could be doing this person a great disservice.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
He probably gets like 17 pages just written in crayon that he has to decipher.
But yes, so the story was, did we renew their interest in Kazuchika Okada? We all sort of went, okay. But the pitch from WWE essentially is that Okada is now 36. He's close to Shinsuke Nakamura. The WWE style is far easier on the body. And the one thing Okada has never done is WWE. And he's effectively, well, it's not effectively, he has done everything there is to do in New Japan Pro Wrestling. WWE even have a strategy to try and give him a little tickle and bring Okada in, which is that basically the push for Shinsuke Nakamura alongside Triple H always being a big fan of Nakamura. The idea is, hey, if we push Okada, we can sort of try and reverse the perception that like Japanese wrestlers aren't treated perfectly when they go to WWE. I mean, like,
there's a bit of a stigma around it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had like the likes of, I mean, this is the company that used to have a fake Japanese person in Yokozuna. We've sort of got Akira Tozawa, who's there, who's just a bit of a joke. Kushida, like this
wasn't
legendary
really used.
New Japan wrestler, did nout really, did he?
Nothing. Yeah, Asuka was given a decent push, but then as soon as she got to main roster, that kind of dissipated for a while.
It took her 2 years basically to get
and that was a weird thing that happened with when, because things came from the press conference at Survivor Series, and one of them was sort of I'm pretty sure this came from there, where it was mentioned that Triple H wants to change the perception of how Japanese wrestlers are treated in WWE. We put out an article in that vein, and Asuka actually replied to it with a list of all her accomplishments. I don't know whether she was making a point to go, well, this is wrong because look how brilliant I am. But she's very much, as you said on the morning, an outlier.
An outlier.
Yeah, she's the exception to the rule.
Like, Io Sky is getting there, but isn't quite there yet.
Kairi Sane as well also was sort of like, oh, massive talent. And then main roster didn't utilize her.
Much really, yeah.
It is a shame that that's been historically in the past, and it might harm them of getting Okada if he goes, well, I might not be treated. But I think, and I was saying it this morning to you just in the office, I think he'd be treated like a massive star in WWE's current presentation and the current landscape of WWE compared to anywhere else, and that includes AEW just because of how bloated that roster is right now.
So what we've heard on the AEW side is, so since the renewal of interest, we've heard Okada's contract is up at the end of January. I mean, New Japan contracts basically work where they're sort of like one-year rolling deals, but by this point, Okada's usually signed an extension by now. This time he hasn't. Sports Illustrated have said Okada is set to become a free agent, and he's seriously contemplating basically WWE or AEW as the options. One advantage AEW does have, we'll get back to Fraser's point, but one advantage is that probably a priority for Okada is to remain in Japan, something that basically wouldn't be possible with WWE in the way they work, but would be with AEW, because essentially you'd have a similar deal to Pac and Will Ospreay where they're able to live in the UK. But in terms of the New Japan thing and WWE, it terrifies me, the idea of Okada and WWE. Like, something in my brain just goes, this is wrong.
You don't want to see him versus like top
Baron Corbin.
And losing to Baron Corbin.
Hey, Baron Corbin's great.
Learn to work our way, brother.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like part of something in my brain just goes, they'll do something wrong, and it's Okada, this once-in-a-generation talent, and they just won't get it right. I know Triple H is there now, but
yeah,
because of all the stuff, their track record isn't great.
But their recent track record has been quite good, and that's my argument on the other side. Not, but I'm not just trying to find balance in it, but WWE, they wouldn't go after Okada without buying the product off Okada, like Cody Rhodes. They got the mark, they got the look, they got the entrance, they got the vibe, they got the Cody Rhodes as a package is what they bought, and that's how they presented him. I think now, with the way that they're positioning like Nakamura to be more of that character that he was in, or show signs of that character he was in Japan, if they went to Okada, we're going to give you lots of money to come over here, be part of WWE. We're buying the Rainmaker. We're buying the Okada that is selling out Wrestle Kingdom every single year in the main events, and present that on screen. It would be a bit shit, though, admittedly, if he came in and it was, right, you're going to have to work your way up through NXT, and then he needs to be instantly main event.
Because, I mean, Nakamura came in as the King of Strong Style, but he then went to the main... Fair enough, Vince is in charge, which is probably part of the problem. I'm still terrified of all the Vince-isms. But, I mean, even Nakamura's push this year has been... Fair enough, he's been far better than he has been, but he still was just lost twice to Seth Rollins.
We did say it this morning, though. Nakamura definitely has phoned it in his entire WWE run.
He's just there to go surfing, wasn't he?
He was. So I think as much as Nakamura is an example we can look at, I think Okada might have a bit more motivation because he's a little bit younger than Nakamura right now. Nakamura in his 40s, whereas Okada's still 36. He's still in that prime age of his career. Either way, if he goes to WWE or AEW, I think it's... an incredible get for either of them. I wouldn't be surprised if he does WWE though, because he'll want to be treated like that star.
I would, because it's just a meltdown situation, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just weird.
I do believe, as intriguing as it is to see Okada in WWE, I think he'll probably go to AEW.
Yeah,
because as one guy we're going to talk about in a second will attest, like, you get somebody who is massive in New Japan, you then set you give them feuds on AEW television so the audience get to know them and they get to grips with what they're about early. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a try before you buy thing. So then when they're eventually brought in, not only are they on great money to do a show that they already get, but they can also go back to New Japan as and when as well. Mm-hmm. So what AEW will offer people is the best of all worlds.
I do know,
whereas WWE, I think, will go, right, you're with us and that is all. You know, unless a major exception comes along like Nakamura and Muta.
He would definitely get better matches in AEW for sure.
Certainly.
Like, what's his priority bar staying in Japan? Is it incredible match opportunities or is it money and having that sort of stable of WWE behind him and the WWE machine behind him? Because I think he would get lost in the shuffle a little bit in AEW and... Mm. That's a criticism of AEW's booking, is the sense that they bring all these people in and then nothing much happens.
They've got so many wrestlers.
Yeah. Like, Jay White came in as the big top New Japan signing, and yes, he's had that main event, but it wasn't great for him.
Nah.
And
I mean, he was unhappy with the main event.
He himself was unhappy with it. Osprey, yeah, we've still got to see how that goes. But I think Osprey has a bigger chance of being a star in AEW than Okada does. Mm. Just in the sense of who he is. He's more... When Okada's appeared on AEW TV, he's not felt like Okada to me, anyway.
He hasn't felt as big.
No. And maybe he'll join TNA.
I mean, we'll say this. He re-signed with New Japan.
Yeah.
You mean rejoin TNA?
What was he...
No. We forget that run as Okada.
Rejoin!
As Okada.
Okada! Rejoin.
Wait, no.
As Okada.
No. We forget that run.
Because I think, bear in mind, that whatever WWE would do to Okada, it won't be as bad as making him the Green Hornet sidekick.
I suppose, yeah.
You can't go much worse than that. He's already had bad creative. I think just like some matches on NXT would nowhere near be as bad for him as wrestling as Okada.
Literally a man who was the best wrestler in the world for a substantial period of the 2010s.
He is.
I think so. One of the best wrestlers.
I think he's arguably the best right now in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big Willie.
B- Big Willie.
I don't know for sure. I will have to ask his partner, but yes, Will Ospreay.
Fair enough. So yes, Will Ospreay, as Fraser alluded to before, has signed with All Elite Wrestling. I mean, and it was another one of these Tony Khan surprise announcements that led to it, where, to be perfectly honest, I'm a bit bored of Tony Khan's surprise announcements. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what was one of them recently? Just that the tickets for All In were going to go on sale,
yeah.
And then there was
a major announcement.
And then, but then the Continental Classic, he didn't tease a major announcement, he just announced it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, where's that?
Swap them now, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bit odd.
But this one certainly was a monumental announcement. We had it on the Wednesday night before AEW Full Gear. Just goes to it and goes that AEW has agreed to terms with one of the world's best wrestlers. That individual will sign their contract in Los Angeles at Full Gear on November 18th. Names rumoured for the spot. I mean, the rumour mill swirled instantly. It was big Dolph Ziggler. He can't right now because he's non-compete.
Yeah,
with WWE following his release in September. He basically would have had to ask WWE to get out of it if he was going to appear at Full Gear. There was Ronda Rousey, because of course she popped up in Ring of Honor this month.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't made the list because there's six bigger stories, but she was certainly number seven. Ronda Rousey in Ring of Honor, but she's not interested. She wants to go home and have more babies, so like, fair enough. Mercedes Moné. She's been rumored for a while going to AEW. Mm. But from the sounds of it, she's still, legs still knackered. She's in training now, but still not quite ready to come back and wrestle. But then Will Ospreay, he was the fourth name. And to be perfectly honest, we all sort of went, well, how though? Because we know he's under contract until February 2024 with New Japan.
Yeah.
So surely he can't be signing for AEW.
And that would be contract tampering.
That would be contract tampering. But then Friday afternoon, I once again, I'm ready to go home. Got me hat on, me little ready to go.
You've had to close Marley and Marley for the night. Be here all the earlier tomorrow.
And then it was Andrew Savage of the Rap Men Pro Wrestling Podcast. He's somebody who goes, I've heard of Ospreay. We all sort of thought, right. I mean, our own sources were indicating certainly that it wasn't Will Ospreay by them going, hey, it's not Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
And we're like, right.
So it is Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Like, so it is Will Ospreay, because the deflection was very bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, wasn't it?
So we went, okay, it's Will Ospreay. And lo and behold, it was Will Ospreay.
Bruv.
And he comes out and goes, sail down, bruv, sail down. We're like, oh, there he is.
It was funny because I remember, I watched it with you, and obviously we're on reactions. We had the volume down a wee bit. I didn't hear the crowd making a noise, so all I heard was him just going, hey, sail down, bruv.
Because basically he'd come out and he'd said, like, I'm coming in, but I can't come in yet. Everyone started booing. Yeah. He's like, no, shut up, right? Shut up.
Bruv.
New Japan. Doing that, I'll be
damn, bruv.
So the premise is he came out to say, I'm fulfilling my New Japan obligations, and when I finish with New Japan, I will be signing with All Elite Wrestling. Well, yeah. I've already signed my next contract with All Elite Wrestling.
Essentially, from On the Road to Revolution, Will Ospreay will be hashtag All Elite. But basically, the idea is that he's been represented by Barry Bloom, who's like the super agent, did the Young Bucks and Hangman Page and Kenny signing. Mm-hmm. I think he represents Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Represents Chris Jericho. A few guys in WWE as well.
Yeah, he's basically like that football agent, but in wrestling.
Yeah.
That was a terrible analogy, but there we are.
I'm not sure the one you mean, but I believe
he's he's a big talent agent, and it just so happens he's very good at getting wrestlers a lot of money.
Yeah. But what we heard is that New Japan basically gave AEW permission to speak to Will Ospreay. They went, thank you very much. Because
thank you very much, bro.
Because Will Ospreay already made it clear that he wasn't going to sign with New Japan, but essentially because I think part of it is the yen's down and all sorts of other stuff just going on in New Japan.
So it means even if he signs for the same amount, he's going to make less next year.
They can't pay him as much as
any other company
can. Yeah, so there's plenty of interest. WWE were interested, because, of course, why wouldn't you be? He's the best wrestler in the world. WWE had been in contact with Ospreay's representatives. This is from Fightful Select in the weeks ahead of Full Gear, as they tried to gauge his interest or gauge his interest. And they were sort of looking to go, what kind of schedule would he work? Because they would want him to move to the United States. Ospreay had alluded that he was willing to move to the United States. But, I mean, as he's mentioned, he's just finished his kitchen. Mm-hmm. He's got a stepson in school. So because we want to move him to the United States. I don't want an American child.
So just, sorry, America. But you're all disgusting.
He just thought of living in, like, wherever he lives in the southeast of the UK,
yeah.
Having a lovely time. TNA Wrestling, of course, the upcoming.
Oh my God, they were proper raiding the war chest to bring in Ospreay. Yeah. Almost going to pay him as much as they paid me.
And it was, but I mean, this was a big deal for TNA, really, because basically since Anthem bought them in 2017, it's sort of been. People are paid a fair wage, obviously, yeah. But they're paid far less than they can make in AEW and WWE. And they were like, fuck it, seven figures to Will Ospreay.
Seven
so it was like,
figures.
Okay, we could have a strong number three again if they're pumping around money.
Well, they're going to be called TNA from next year. So they probably looked at it and went, well, that's four less letters to print on everything. So we can save on ink cartridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put that saving towards Will Ospreay.
It's a very good sign, though, that TNA is trying to be that number three again.
And
be like, we're going to go after the same talent that's going to all these ones, and we want to show that we are willing to put our money where our mouth is and invest in ourselves.
I mean, people in the talent in TNA actually thought they had a really good shot of getting him as well, because he popped up Bound for Glory with that banger match of Speedball Mike Bailey. He then worked the show that we had.
Turning Point, Newcastle. Yeah.
There he was, Big Willie.
Main event at Turning Point.
And then it was sort of he was happy again. He talked about how he wanted to do TNA again once it becomes TNA completely from Hard to Kill 2024. I believe he'd probably still work that show in some respect.
Well, he can.
He can't work Hard to Kill.
Not work Hard to Kill.
Oh, no, he can't.
Because there's Battle in the Valley.
Well, see, he could work it because... Now, this is some bad logistics here.
Is it?
But the New Japan show starts 4 hours later. So they could put him on first.
In TNA?
And then you could... It's only like... I think they're quite close to each other.
Are they?
Because one's in Vegas and the other one's in San Jose.
Okay, so that's like an hour, 2 hour flight.
But he's got Barry, but he's got all his bags of sacks of money now.
He does have the money sacks.
So they get him a private flight.
So Las Vegas, that's definitely where Hard to Kill is.
Yes.
And San Jose's Battle in the Valley.
But it's at the Palms, it's in a casino.
I think it's going to be very tough for him to do both shows.
But it's Will Ospreay.
So San Jose, California.
Oh yeah, he probably won't turn up, but this is the logistics of working it out now.
Las Vegas to San Jose, Tom.
Las Vegas
to Nevada. San Jose.
Okay, it is.
How long's the drive?
The drive is 6, 7 hours.
7 hours.
What's the flight?
What's the flight time?
Public transport.
An hour and a half.
I can't get flights on here.
How long's the bus? 9 hours.
They're 14 hours.
Okay,
flights from.
I might not even do with them.
San Jose. Flight time. Is 1 hour 30 minutes.
Hey, exactly, loads of time.
However, that's you've got to get through security. You've got to get there on time.
Stop and buy a Toblerone.
Exactly.
He's got to go to W.H. Smith, get his book.
If the weather's shit, you're fucked. No, I think as exciting as that would be...
It's not going to happen.
I think you've just got to... Because why risk one or the other?
I suppose, yeah.
Unless he just flies.
He's an Ospreay after all.
How far is it as the Ospreay flies?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So what Dave Meltzer mentioned is the one thing WWE couldn't offer Ospreay, along with, of course, living in the UK, was All In 2024.
Oh,
this
yeah,
Wembley Stadium again. Yeah. So will Ospreay be in the main event? Tony Khan's already said he's got a pretty good idea of what the main event of All In will be. But, I mean, it certainly wouldn't shock me if Will Ospreay is AEW World Champion at the end of that August Bank Holiday weekend.
Mm. What do we think the main event is? Let's predict it right now. Tom, main event of All In next year.
It's going to be... Let me think. Who be Adam Cole versus Will Ospreay?
I'm Cole Ospreay.
World title.
Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay.
I'm also Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay.
Oh, actually, I'm for the world title. I'm gonna. Can I change mine? I want to be Swerve Strickland.
Nope. You're not allowed.
No, I don't like Adam
Swerve,
Cole.
Swerve as world champ going into All In.
Oh, I love that shit.
Ospreay is the face.
Imagine if it comes true. Where like, hey, clip this now for next year.
I could spice that up. Swerve, Ospreay, Joe.
No, I don't like that.
Oh, fuck off! Fuck off!
Take a step back.
Fuck off!
I want a big singles match.
Yep. Big.
I like... yeah, I think you two are right.
I do like the sound of
when the
Ring
of Honor tag team titles in the pre-show.
As is tradition.
Prince Nana just comes down handsome.
But no, definitely Will in a feature position.
Oh, yeah.
During that one.
I'm thinking, how do you top this year when he beat Jericho in the semi-main?
Put him in the main.
Unless you do him... It's basically the only way you could top it is to do him against Kenny 3.
Yeah.
But they might go to that beforehand, sort of like a number one contenders thing.
I think you've got to put him in the world title match. Yeah. Maybe. I think you've got to give him the world title at Wembley.
It also moves tickets.
It will move a fuck ton of tickets. That is a great story. But you've got... Okay, and this is my thing for AEW. That's a great story.
Do it.
Right? But tell the story. All right, like have the journey. I think Tony just likes going, that's the main event.
Yeah.
But give us a trials and tribulations of Will Ospreay to get there.
And bring Bret Hart in.
Yeah.
For a laugh.
Yeah. I don't think they actually can, but yeah.
No.
Well, let's have Will set his sights on Wembley. Let's have it all going well. Let's have some disruption. Let's have someone step in and be a roadblock, stops him from doing it. He has a title contendership match for Wembley and loses. He then has to fight to earn the right to do it again. Then he gets it. Then he's in the main event. That's...
So you want him to finish the story?
Finish it! I just want Tony Khan to tell a fucking story. Like...
So you have like Brian Cage, Samoan Spike, Ospreay in the main event. Yes! Of All In. And then next year.
Next Wembley.
Will Ospreay gets to beat Swerve in the main event.
Maybe gets to beat Swerve in the main event.
I'm glad we've got the Swerve Ospreay as the one that we all want, though.
Like, yeah, I'm all into that.
Because even on Swerve, he's had a banging year. Wonderful.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Swerve deserved the belt as well.
An absolute superstar. But Will should definitely be in the main event. Yeah. I know that Kip Sabian's keen to be on the card. We had a lovely chat for Desert Island Graps, which is on the podcast feed right now. Did Kip Sabian and I. About an hour and a half we chatted. Do you know that Kip Sabian and Will Ospreay used to backyard wrestle each other? And they used to... of course, but did you know they used to run rival backyard wrestling promotions?
Wow.
No.
And they did invasion angles.
What, like, just to run over from, like, run over his mom's house or something?
Yeah, from, like, from down south to Essex. And, like, they do invasions and cross-promotion story and stuff like that. And
wow.
So we talk all about it. It's on the podcast feed right now.
Let me spice up the main event then. Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, Kip Sabian.
Yes!
Why not?
It wouldn't shock me if they do a thing with Ospreay and same sort of, like a Dynamite match, little Dynamite feud where it's like, hey, we used to have rival wrestling promotions.
That could be the roadblock on the way to Wembley, because Kip's like, Kip can cut this brilliant promo and go, no, you had your moments.
It's me now.
I want my fucking moment now. I'm going to take it from you.
There was like, Kip, please.
Bruv, settle down, bro.
Settle down, bro.
Settle down, bro.
Tell a story. I obviously, they've told good stories in AEW, don't you think? I'm just being a shithead. But more often, I just feel like sometimes they miss.
They do. They've been better recently, but they were certainly rushing things in the summer of 2023.
Yeah.
And a lot of it time is because they've not been able to go around injuries. It's like to pivot and not have a backup.
It's been a major problem, really, stretching back to when Punk was first injured in May 2022, really.
Because Hangman story was incredible.
Yeah.
His rise of Hangman Page.
One of the best stories. And again, that was all adversity and roadblocks.
Punk MJF.
Fighting through. Punk MJF was excellent.
Excellent feud. Punk Hangman until the...
Until all the backstage shit.
The backstage shit. Great feud. You know, you've got Kenny as the world champ. great feud. You've got so many good things in there. And so many good stories, they just need to learn to pivot. But I hope they don't have to pivot from this one. Osprey needs to be in the main event.
Yeah, absolutely. One guy who's basically been a big part of all of this in AEW has resigned from the company this month, yes. Last month.
So one man who will not be in the All In 2024 main event is QT Marshall. Mm. He has resigned from All Elite Wrestling. Unfortunately, the words I will not repeat the words I've written, but...
Now... I think we should mention that.
Okay.
Oh. Right? Oh. No, because I think it's indicative of a lot of what QT Marshall has experienced during his time. And look, this isn't me just dragging Aiden at all. Because what Aiden puts here is what a lot of people have said. You are not alone.
QT Marshall is the greatest professional wrestler in the world.
Because you've put, no one has ever cared this much about QT Marshall. And quite frankly, I still don't care about QT Marshall, but apparently lots of others do.
Yep.
And that's not, again, not being a dick, I get it. If you just look at QT Marshall's body of work, you are bang on the money. Why should we care?
He's just a boring.
He's a boring man. Wrestling
man.
Do you know
that once I called LA Knight the QT Marshall of NXT?
Did you?
There you go. Wow. We've all had our moments with QT Marshall. He was on Desert Island Graps and he was lovely. But that's the thing. But what people don't realize is all the stuff that happens behind the scenes with him. And he goes into it in his farewell resignation note online, doesn't he?
Which you may read, Fraser.
He says, thank you, AEW. Thank you, Tony Khan. I've had the privilege of being here since day one, and I've written over 750 formats for All Elite Wrestling, and always with pride. Are you giggling, Aiden?
I did a dab.
He did a little dab.
Oh, you did a dab.
It was day one.
Oh, brother, yes, bruv. As much as I've enjoyed being VP, Manager of Talent Relations, and wearing a myriad of hats, the company has changed a lot since 2019 and is heading in a different direction. And I feel that it's best I do the same, as we only get one chance to go all in. I've officially resigned from AEW and will have fulfilled all my obligations by the end of 2023. Thank you to everyone from the front office to the production truck to some of the hardest working talent in this sport. Most importantly, thank you to those who booed, cheered, and took part in this season of my life. Yeah.
Yep. QT Marshall. So he's here till the end of the year, so still tickling about. but he's gone. AEW original.
Very much a guy who was Tony's right-hand man.
Very much the right-hand man.
Produced and helped, put on a lot of the very early Dynamite episodes.
I believe he told you this, Tom, as well, when you interviewed him. It was sort of that him and Tony Khan would sit down, like, basically after a Dynamite, the right next week's show, and, like, work until 4. It was dedicated to this company. And, I mean, even, like, in the pandemic, it was sort of those shows in Georgia were at his training school.
So the Nightmare Factory was...
Just read the next line. I don't think we'll read that one.
No, I think we should.
Since revealed. QT Marshall.
Reports have since revealed that QT Marshall tendered his resignation because he's shit. Lol, JK. In reality, one of the reasons is he wants to be a wrestling star, which includes him wanting to wrestle more and be viewed as an in-ring talent as opposed to a backstage coach. And it was not going to happen in AEW.
Why did you giggle when you read he wants to be a wrestling star?
Still laughing,
but that's what he wants to be.
I'm still laughing at this because he's shit, lol, JK. He's made it very clear that he wants to truly establish himself as a wrestler, which he started to do in AAA.
Yes.
He's a champion in AAA. Yeah.
No, not anymore.
He was
a champion in
AAA. Latin American champion.
So he's doing that in other places, and I guess that's something that's only really happened recently. And I think a combination of that happening recently, the CM Punk stuff, which we'll get into, and how that ties into him, it's probably made him go, I'm probably worth more than I'm worth here, somewhere else.
On screen, if he's feeling that way. I mean, he's
he clearly thinks he's better than what the perception within AEW is of him.
It's really weird.
It's the way he said that. He thinks he's better.
For someone that had so much of a hand in booking the shows and all the backstage stuff and all the myriad of hats that he said there, it is surprising that Tony isn't giving him a spot, you know, on TV.
No, but this is part of the argument as well, is that he did give him a spot on TV. QT, he had a push in 2021 where he formed the factory, and it was rubbish, right?
It was rubbish.
And then we had that, then we thought, okay, well, we'll do QTV now. And that was crap.
Yeah, that was rubbish.
And it was so crap that CM Punk went, I do not want this on AEW Collision.
Keep that out of my garden.
It went, no, we do not want this. Get Powerhouse Hobbs away from this. Because Powerhouse Hobbs still landed his feet with Don Carl's family. Much better place.
Oh, yeah.
But this actually, what part of this we'll get into it now, is that Tony Khan effectively took the blame from away from CM Punk, and he took it on his shoulders and went, I'm the reason you're being pulled from Collision. And QT Marshall, quite rightly, didn't believe him.
No, Tony Khan going, I think your idea is great, but I just don't think it's quite right for Collision, specifically.
Specifically that one show on a Saturday night. Mm.
And that's my decision and nobody else's. This is just during a period of, Tony Khan very much protecting Punk from a lot of people's wrath in AEW.
I mean, I'm having to go with his wrestling ability because he's a good hand. He's a spot-on wrestler.
He's a good hand.
But just nothing about him excites me.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's the general consensus with a lot of people is why that we snigger and we have jokes like, you know, we have done when we talk about QT Marshall, is because we base it all on like he's not a Will Ospreay type, then but why are we talking this much about him? But he does so much, he's more than the sum of his parts, he's so much more for a company. So wherever QT Marshall goes, you're going to get a guy who is, as you say, a good hand, who can do a lot, but also brings so much behind the scenes as well.
This is sort of part of a narrative now that's sort of formulating, is that, I mean, this is in December, but we'll talk about it, is that Kevin Sullivan has just been sacked by AEW, and he was sacked by Mike Mansuri, who was a WWE guy.
The Kevin Sullivan, by the way.
It was the backstage guy, Kevin Sullivan. But he was like an AEW original. So the narrative in AEW that's sort of building is that all these AEW originals are leaving and are sort of being replaced by ex-WWE guys, which, of course, from experience, is kind of terrifying because look what happened with TNA with all that sort of stuff that happened there. And
when they brought in 2010 and it was all former WCW guys coming in, and it was like, is this the right thing for the product?
Can you be the alternative while you're just signing
the ones that have left?
Yeah, while you're just signing the ex-WWE guys.
And it could, we don't know how much influence in terms of the on-screen stuff that QT had in creative and stuff like that, but there will likely be a noticeable change with stuff like Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
We mentioned it on the news, and the fact that unless they have someone trained up in his style of how the production looks and feels and is cut, it will likely feel quite abruptly different. Imagine the next week's Dynamite, it's just jump cut, jump cut, jump cut. Like,
yeah,
it would feel different. Every director's got a different style of things. And the same with QT. We'll wonder how much, being a manager of talent relations, who's going to fill that spot? How will they do things differently?
So Christopher Daniels, in terms of talent relations, he's the head guy. Mm-hmm. In terms of the creative stuff, what has happened is basically QT was right-hand man. It sounds like up until Cody Rhodes left in February 2022. And he's still been involved, like, as a producer and stuff like that, and has been involved in the creative process. But simply because AEW has expanded to another TV show and everything else, it's sort of that there's now more people around Tony Khan as opposed to QT Marshall. I mean, he's brought, like, Jimmy Jacobs, Will Washington, Chris Heroes there, all sorts of different people. I think it's just more that there's been more heads, and QT Marshall seeing his influence go down. And what I mean, one of this sort of made us laugh a little bit, and we'll discuss it, is that alongside wanting to be a wrestling star, QT believes AEW is transitioning to more of a New Japan pro wrestling related programming. There's differing opinions on how wrestling should be done within AEW, but QT is a champion for the more entertainment based product, and he feels that some of the changes, like AEW is not telling the great stories that they used to. I mean, we talked about that.
We've mentioned that already,
But what Marshall, this is from Wrestle Purists, QT Marshall essentially views putting on a bunch of high-end, higher work rate matches with no story or build as being like New Japan. I mean, incorrect. But what we've since heard as well is that there's no plans for AEW to become like New Japan. I mean, they have got the Continental Classic on right now, which, of course, is just nicked from New Japan. But there is a story there and stuff that's going on, as there is in the G1. But, I mean, a lot of the criticism around AEW, especially in recent months and stuff around MJF and the main event scene, was, if anything, the product's been a lot more like WWE in sport entertainment than has been more pro wrestling, brother.
Yeah, but then I can see where that idea of it being just matches, like new, like high-octane, high-end, high work rate matches comes from, because there's a lot of times if you're kind of casually, passively watching AEW, all you really see is like, this six-man tag is on Dynamite this week, coming up, this tag match for reasons. And you're like, okay.
There has been issues there. I think one example is Willow Nightingale lost the number one contenders match and then challenged for the title 5 days later anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little things like that don't make too much sense. I just think him saying the New Japan thing, personally, I feel like him going, oh, it's becoming more New Japan-like, is so that if he does go to WWE, people can't criticize him for being like, he just complained about that.
Yeah.
If he complains about the other side of it and going, no, there's too many random people coming in for random work rate matches, and then he signs, you know, it makes more sense to now allow him as a doorway in at WWE if he goes that way.
Or to become the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
That is true. Yeah. He's going to be the new Japan star.
Oh. Yeah.
It's actually a talent trade with Ospreay.
Ospreay for QT Marshall. That's fine.
But what we've heard about his future is that there's an internal push from someone who, I'm not this confirmed, but my rampant speculation is this person's name will rhyme with Roadie Codes, is pushing for WWE to sign QT Marshall. Triple A is still an option for him because, I mean, Conan, the book of Triple A, really likes him and is quite willing to keep pushing him as a wrestler. MLW as well, they're going through some big front office changes right now and they sort of see him as a jack of all trades person. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, from the sounds of it, that's not what he wants to do anymore. So,
It's one to keep an eye on. I mean, one I'm keeping an eye on right now is what is happening in the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah. What a mess.
Well, I mean, it's been a bin fire of a month for Billy Corgan's NWA. And I want to preface this by saying when NWA came back in 2019,
yeah,
I fell in love with it completely. Right. Like the soundstage setup, the very different setup of production and television. The roster was different to anywhere else you'd seen.
We had Eddie Kingston, Ricky Starks, Nick Aldis.
Yeah, you had a lot of sort of guys that would go on to do great things, and they came through there. I just love the presentation. I love the style of it. And then as time went on, it just went on this weird, windy journey. And to the point where whilst they've kind of tried, they recognize, I think, that things have to... That there wasn't the loyalty as there was before because they've gone back to that sound stage for weekly TV. But I think in terms of what they're presenting, it's so far gone.
Yeah, it's nothing like what it used to be.
No, really. It's really not. It's really not.
I think is NWA the promotion that was harmed the most by the pandemic?
They lost a lot of top stars. LA Knight was, you know, in there. Eli Drake was their top guy.
Shoes of a champion.
Even people like James Storm.
Yeah.
Were sort of gone. It was like, right, oh, fuck. Tyrus was what we got.
It was a bit of a downgrade, wasn't it?
A lot of names left during the pandemic, so when they got up and running proper, it was a full-on reboot.
The worst slightly unfortunate in the sense that they brought in, like, Matt Cardona was NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, then he got injured.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, like, Matt, here we go with Matt Cardona. It was like, right.
Yeah.
But a lot of duds, but things sort of looked to be on the up. It was sort of, we had reports in October, this came out in October, that we were going to get NWA on the CW, the TV station, that ultimately NXT's landed on.
Yeah.
But it was that they're going to be on CW TV. There's going to be a reality series that'll be on this TV station as well. This is going to be a major upgrade because essentially YouTube isn't proving profitable for the NWA. Billy Corgan's forking out millions to keep the company going.
Because there seems to be no real advertising on there. They've got like local adverts like made by the wrestlers.
Built in onto the actual program rather than YouTube adverts, which is, I wonder if that's the content of it, that it's not being monetized by YouTube.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be getting monetized at all. Yeah. I think they could do with it.
But then sort of what we hit, so they're like, okay, big TV, you're coming. Could we have a number four big promotion like on TV? We thought, here we go. And then this was all promptly blown up by a case of cocaine, of all the things. They held their, you say it, Tom, you say it best, they held their pay-per-view.
They held Samhain.
I can't say it.
Samhain. I got to interview the man in question here, Father James Mitchell, about 2 weeks before this happened. So that's how I learned how to say Samhain.
Fortunately, he wasn't on cocaine while during the interview.
No. I mean, he wasn't, as far as I know.
But it was, I mean, crazy moment looking back at it and what everything that it's caused. But we've got the Samhain pay-per-view. Dave Mitchell is there at the back. He's surrounded by beautiful women, a man in a gimp suit and some other things going on. And they all just start snorting cocaine.
They've just got a bit of coke on the table.
And Tim Storm's on commentary going, well, that's happening.
See, we all thought we were tuning in for the National Wrestling Alliance's pay-per-view when it's actually the Narcotics Wrestling Alliance pay-per-view.
Next series of Narcos. James Mitchell.
It's a very different NWA. Yeah. But it was otherwise an unremarkable pay-per-view with a sat with an entranceway that looked like it'd been bought by from the range about an hour beforehand. It was like a really I get what they were going for and I like what they were going for, but I didn't enjoy the pay-per-view. But the one thing that got the clicks was that clip that did the rounds of Father James Mitchell doing a bit of coke.
And it got so many clicks, everyone on social media was going, hey, CW, look at this.
This look at NWA is cool again.
And they were flooded with comments about the spot. And apparently this is from House of Wrestling, but what CW said is, hey, we won't watch the pay-per-views, do what you want.
They were like, oh, don't worry, we can do what we want on TV.
Because that was the TNA thing for years as well, really, was that you could do whatever you want on pay-per-view. With you, and it was sort of.
But it's still surely you can't
still be the same product.
Can't be dumb enough to think it won't reflect on you.
I know, especially when everyone goes, they're doing cocaine on TV.
Yeah, it's like if we were to start doing cocaine during this podcast, would reflect on the YouTube channel.
What do you mean starting?
That's fair point, well made. But it would reflect on. We can't go, but we didn't do it on YouTube. But it's still the product. So it's like, I find that either stupid or really arrogant.
I think it's a bit both.
Bit of column A.
Because what we found out was that the spot was pushed for by Billy Corgan, the owner of the NWA. He wanted the spot on the show. So we're like, might be a bad idea, but he's like, no, we're getting the cocaine off. And immediately afterwards, it said that there's a 90% chance that NWA will now not be on CWTV and will simply be on the app. That has since come to pass.
To which Billy Corgan did the Pikachu face meme.
Yeah.
What?
Sprite yeah, Pikachu, you know. Yeah.
And it was just him really sad back at Disneyland again.
But it did create the greatest bit of graphics you've done.
You love that graphic.
For our socials. You can find it still. It's NWA in crisis, and you found the picture of Billy Corgan sat on the, I think it's the Runaway Mine Train from Disney, looking really sad. It's the one I think that they've used it in Family Guy before.
Big Thunder Mountain.
There's
an episode of Family Guy which features that clip as well. It's fantastic. But it did indeed lead to a lot of other conversations coming out about the NWA, a lot of weird behaviour from Billy Corgan, which...
He's been cutting off people and sort of like sheltering himself. But there are now production cuts on the way. It sounds like he's maybe now a little bit suddenly disinterested for it, or a little... Not necessarily disinterested, but he's a little bit maybe burnt out slightly.
Because he's
cutting his money from it.
So do you think it's? I was going to say, do you think it's the fact that he's losing money?
He thought, here we go. The deal.
And then it's his fault that the spot that he wanted is kind of fucked the money, the deal that was going to bring money in. And then you've got his roster going, what the fuck is up with that? Like, why are you as an owner pushing us to do that, maybe?
I think we've heard as well that there's a lot of cuts. There's a lot of roster members' contracts are up in the summer of 2024. And talent will be leaving. I mean, Camille, she's already said, I think she would have been renewed if they could have had her, but she's already said that she's not sticking around. She'll be gone at the end of the year.
And Camille's been there for ages.
I mean, she was the champion for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years as women's champion.
But it'll actually end up helping WWE all of this because talks between the CW and WWE accelerated. And this has all ultimately ended up with NXT from next October. That's going to be the home of CW is going to be the home of NXT.
Yeah, I think that's a great spot for them.
Yeah.
Really great spot for them. And shame that NWA Power is...
just on the app now.
Yeah, and likely won't get the promotion and the money that they were hoping for.
There wasn't even an announcement. It was just added on.
Just got chucked on there.
It was like, because they had all the talent were a bit like, oh, this has gone tits up, hasn't it, basically. They were all confused, basically going, no announcement.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you go, we're getting on TV.
I know.
And then you're getting on an app that I can't imagine a large majority of people who watch the station
I don't know they had an app, but
can
where
we,
are the
can
UK?
Can we get the CW?
We can't get the CW app.
No. I believe all their stuff airs on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
Right. So if you've got Sky Atlantic, you might be able to watch Father James Mitchell doing a bit of coke.
Because it was... Because it had like the Flash and Arrow and all that sort of stuff. That's all CW.
Yeah, but that might be a different
deal.
But I mean, anything that's owned by Warner generally does. Like HBO stuff is Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
But how important is NWA Power or NXT to that matter of play airing on Sky Atlantic? Obviously, it's a
separate deal
TV
as well. It's on TNT Sports over here.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah. So a good thing was coming for NWA and it's gone. It's blown up in his face. It's almost like he's just covered in white powder, isn't he?
He's been left covered in white powder. Oh, yeah. Just trying to search the app, then you're right. We absolutely have not got it on here. I think it could be the death knell almost. It's like when Heel Season 2 aired exclusively on the Stars app and had no UK syndication whatsoever and barely any US presence. They just stuck it on the app and halfway through they went, yeah, we're not going to do a third series due to lack of interest. Well, you kind of... You've made that happen. You've willed that into existence by just like hiding it and then going, no one's watching, so we're going to bin it. So, yeah, because you're not plugging it.
Yeah.
Like, of course. And I think, so when it was mentioned, it was just sort of quietly put onto the CW app. I think at the first opportunity they've got, I think CW are just going to go, nah, this isn't working for us. Off you go.
Yeah.
We've honored the very bare minimum of our contractual obligations and off you go.
You're right.
Let's wrap this up with a few unusual stories that captured the imagination of viewers of Cultaholic.com in a section based around Aidan Gibbons' catchphrase in The Office. Whenever something does particularly well in an unusual manner on Cultaholic.com, he will often tell us that kids love this sort of thing. So, for the final segment, Fraser, you and I say the line together, and Aidan leads the story. One, two, three.
Kids love
Jim Cornette slamming the AEW Texas Death Match between Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page.
Surely not.
Cornette didn't like it. Yeah,
Jim. But he had a weird criticism of the match. I mean, brilliant match.
Yeah,
one of the matches of the year. But he wasn't even like critical of the ultra violence of it. He was critical of that because the match starts with Hangman Page has a stapler and he staples Swerve repeatedly. And Jim Cornette's criticism was that Hangman didn't just beat him with the stapler.
It's a very valid criticism,
I think.
Because, you know, Jim Cornette likes it being having a lot of
real brother to him. Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, he just went to staple, as the quote says, he stapled his titties.
Yeah.
Instead of knocking him across the face with a metal stapler.
But then, crazily, you compared it to when Lyndon Johnson lost Cronkite during the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
I mean, he went a bit far with his figgy, but this is Jim Cornette here.
Yeah.
A character of outrage, very much so. But it got us lots of clicks. My excellent graphic
was great.
Brought it in.
Fantastic graphic, well done.
But I mean, the picture was first written having the stomach staple to him. It's a bit of paper, and you're like, fuck me. But yeah, Jim Cornette completely about AW, who knew?
Kids love
Les Battersby making his pro wrestling debut.
This is my favourite story of the month.
So we'll certainly need to explain who Les Battersby is.
Yeah.
This is actor Bruce Jones.
Yes.
Who plays in the longest running weekly episodic show of all time.
Not
Coronation Street. Yeah. Eat that, Michael Cole. Corrie. He plays cult favourite Les Battersby.
Yeah, so he was a regular between 1997 and 2008. I'll detail his time on Coronation.
Please do.
Battersby arrived with wife Janice, who ultimately left him. Battersby then found a new family in Cilla Brown, son Chesney. Bloody hell. Dog Schmeichel, named after Peter Schmeichel, the Manchester United goalkeeper. Les Battersby abandoned them in 2007, though, and left Weatherfield, the place of Coronation Street, to go on tour with ZZ Top of the Morning, a tribute band for ZZ Top.
Did you ever watch Coronation Street?
No.
Did you know who Les Battersby was?
Yes.
Okay.
But like everyone knows who Ken Barlow is or Roy Cropper.
Yeah, I think I was only familiar with the name. I had no context as to who this was.
Well, you might have Scottish soaps.
We do. Yeah, we've got quite a few Scottish soaps.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. River City? Is that one? No, do you not know that one?
No.
There's Holby City down here, isn't it?
No, Holby City. Yeah. Oh, is it the same one?
Well, no.
But with Scottish dubbing?
There's River... River City's, I think, set in Glasgow. We've got Two Doors Down.
Right.
Yeah, that's starring Grado.
It's less of a soap, but...
Starring Graham Stevenley. Okay, yeah. Grado.
Good old Grado. Your mate Grado.
My boy Grado. But so Corey is a
big deal.
It's a big deal. So the actor Bruce Jones. So the story behind why this has happened. So the actor Bruce Jones put on his socials that he was available for work and put details of his booking agent and stuff. And it was rap star Shotty Horror, who runs Sovereign Pro Wrestling in the Northwest, who they're coming up to their first year. They've just had their first year anniversary of Sov Pro, and they're doing incredibly well for a brand new company. They've got a captive audience they're really into the product, and
the Manchester promotion, aren't they?
Yeah, they're basically the Manchester promotion now. They've done so well. I mean, them and Future Shock. Like, Future Shock's very much got Manchester on lock, but Sov Pro is there as well. And Shotty just went, should we just ask him if he's up for it? And lo and behold, they went, yeah, why not? We'll do it. I got to interview Bruce and Shotty the other week. And Bruce is genuinely quite terrified, but excited.
Has he done a lot of training?
He wouldn't go into it. They kept it quiet in terms of what they're planning and what he's been doing. But he has been... He loved World of Sport back in the day.
Right.
Loved a bit of Les Kellett. So he's got some people to base it on. When I asked him who his dream TV tag partner would be, he said Tarzan for some reason.
Okay.
He said his finishing move would be running away. his entrance theme is, by the sounds of it, going to be a mashup of the Coronation Street theme and Rocking All Over the World from Status Quo.
Okay.
Shotty Horror said, exactly, to paraphrase, he said, I want like the Seth Rollins Shinsuke Nakamura thing, but with the Corey theme.
Nice.
Whoa. I'm into
it. It's not quite as upbeat. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not.
You'd have to make it up tempo, you know.
It's like, whoa, basically.
Whoa.
It's just Seth Rollins coming out.
In terms of a dream opponent from Corey, he did say Ken Barlow.
Because... dream match right there.
Match there. Ken Barlow versus Les Battersby. I'm into it. I'm excited for it. We've all been invited to go, by the way.
When is it?
February 18th.
2024.
I'm checking if I'm free.
In your mental Google diary.
I'm just waiting out. Manchester is far away.
It is.
I'm a Geordie boy, Tom. I do not venture out
from the West Midlands.
Exactly.
You don't venture down south.
Exactly. I don't go south. South,
Tom.
I'm from very south.
You're from the south.
I don't leave
deep south.
To be fair, you're a southerner for me.
Yes.
So. We're all southerners to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Les Battersby, wrestling debut. I'm into it. I'm excited.
Someone who will clearly go as hard as Les Battersby will in his wrestling debut. It was... Oh fuck.
We've got to do the inline. One, two, three. Kids love.
Adam Copeland telling Darby Allin to chill out. Only for Darby to point out Edge went headfirst through a flaming table.
He did do that.
Because, I mean, a lot of this was comments, people were going, Darby's stupid, isn't he? Because, I mean, the general gist of it is Adam Copeland going, please don't do what I did, where I had to retire for 10 years. And Darby's like, nah, fuck it, I'm just going to do what I want. It's fair enough. Darby's going to do what Darby... I mean, he's climbing Everest next year.
He is.
And has a legitimate chance of dying.
Yeah, there's quite a big risk there. But that's not going to stop him going through a table.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to come back with if Adam Copeland said, look, calm down, don't have the career that I did. To which Darby Allin goes, yeah, but look at this thing you did in your career. Yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, that's the point I'm making. Don't.
It's a bit like when China and India have a go at the US and the UK for going, we go, lads, can you please stop burning as many greenhouse gases? They're like, well, look what you did. It's like, no, but the planet's dying. You know, look what you did.
You started it.
That was a tangent, but that's what made, yeah, that's
no,
what made
me
think
of.
Yeah,
I see what you're going with. Yeah.
And obviously, whenever we see Darby wrestle, we do go, please chill.
Don't die.
Yeah. Like, I think it was at All Out when he... Not All Out. Was it Wrestle Dream? When he took that bump onto the steps.
Yeah. Slammed him onto the steps.
The one I always go back to is it's the ladder match. Not that it's like he's on the ladder for the match with Jeff Hardy. And he leaps from the top, and Jeff's on it, the pile of chairs. Mm-hmm. And even Darby himself sort of thought, I thought I was done in that moment, but I was there now,
so
I might as well jump. Then I was like, Aladdin, I was fine. It was like, how he was fine after that, I do not know.
He must be super flexible, or just there's no...
Bendy.
He's very bendy.
Well, a lot of it is, obviously your body can only take so much, but there's a lot of it is a mental game. It's the whole idea that when you're younger, you can survive more stuff like that because mentally you don't think about the ramifications. So therefore, you go it. You're more relaxed, so your body doesn't seize up. So you're less likely to break things. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of consensus. Is because you're.
I suppose when you're 50, where you're like, I'm going to jump off a ladder. I really don't want to.
Yeah,
you're a bit like, ugh.
There was something I read about a woman in America that had no sense of fear. Like there was an issue with like her adrenal gland, so she never sensed fear. And she got hit by a car, she was fine.
She was fine.
Yeah,
because she didn't seize up.
She got hit by the car, and then apparently even just eventually got to her feet and just walked back home, like because she got no sense of fear.
You need fear to be able, like that to stop you from doing anything stupid, eh?
Yeah. Fear's what kicks in, and so maybe Darby's got a bit of that. Maybe Darby's got an issue with his adrenal gland, so he doesn't sense fear in things like this, so his body's completely relaxed. Like that bump he did when he was on the... Was it a skateboard bump that he did, or a...
Oh, from Nitro Circus. Yeah. Where he went and
was that a buggy?
He was a little trike.
Yeah.
He did the back flip, and then...
He just hit his head, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't land very well. He nailed it the second time.
But landed badly.
He did have a dislocated shoulder.
That was the thing. He dislocated his shoulder, like, what, the week before? Yeah. And then went and did that. And they went, what are you doing, man? And then wrestled with full gear. It was fine.
Darby's got a derby. Darby's got a derby. Anyway. Whoa. Kids love.
AEW talent launching an adult content site.
Oh.
Wow. Kids love that.
Kids love it.
I am ready for that Arn Anderson OnlyFans. Let's go.
Kids love pornography. You'll be absolutely shocked to realize.
I am shocked and appalled by it personally.
Yeah. But yeah, essentially it was the bunny Ali is gone from AEW and she's launched an OnlyFans.
So she's making pretty much the money that she was on before without having to wrestle or tour.
Well, that was the thing. So I mean, these sites have been very successful. I mean, Tony Storm's got one raking in the cash.
Mm.
I think it was Mandy Rose last year made $1 million in a month from having her. I think it was a fan time page. Mm. Don't know how much she's making now, but
probably a lot of money.
Yeah,
clearly. She's not back in wrestling yet.
Clearly, we need to get our dicks out somewhere. And we can bring in the money. How much would people pay for an Anna Pacitti OnlyFans? I bet you someone would pay.
Someone's. I think it's the real emergency option for this place.
CarlHog.com/cameo. Test your luck.
Yeah. You see how hairy Aiden is underneath his shirt.
You would think
I'd pay a tenner.
Think he's all hairy. Shaved. Oh. Just completely. It's like a baby's bahookie.
I'm like John Cena under here.
With oiled up as well.
It's just me on the metro oiled up. God almighty. Awful.
So you're saying that people clicked quite extensively this month on an article about the bunny launching an OnlyFans page?
Yes.
Well, I am shocked and appalled by our audience. That's disgraceful.
It's literally where you went, I bet this does really well. And yeah, it did really
and it
well.
It did really well. And not connected to an OnlyFans page at all. Our final...
Kids love...
Baseball bat being shoved up wrestler's arse.
Aiden, tell us a little bit about that one because I actually don't know this one.
This is amazing.
Because everyone sort of went, what? And clicked on it basically. And it was one wrestler had a very sore bottom on Friday the 17th.
Just the one wrestler.
But essentially it was Chicago style wrestling. They had their second city showdown 3. And it was indie.
Chicago style suggests that it didn't happen in Chicago.
I know it does.
Chicago.
It's Milwaukee.
It's Millwall.
Oh, God.
Chicago style.
Yeah. Take the pizzas, isn't it?
Pizza, yeah. It's deep dish.
I've got a Chicago style pizza today.
Well, one man certainly had a big deep dish because it was shoved right up there.
Fuck it. He certainly had a deep dish.
Yeah.
And it was indie wrestler Joey Mayberry. So what he did in this match, he put his friend in, I can't remember what it's called, basically, he set him up for the cheeky Nandos, essentially.
Right.
And then he tore a little hole in his shorts. He then got a baseball bat and started, obviously he didn't shove it up his arse. But from the image, he's just shoving it up his arse, backwards and forward. The bloke's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Is he having a nice time with it?
He's having a nice time, right on the prostate.
Oh.
And he put his opponent, amazing name, Doom Montgomery.
That is a good name. That's like one you'd come up with.
Yes.
So Doom Montgomery was the one having the bat.
Having the bat shoved up his arse.
How's he been since?
A little bit sore. But essentially, Yeah, he did the spot, and then Mayberry tweeted, "I stuck a bat up a man's ass," and the crowd roared, "Casual Friday." So yeah, fans loved it. They were like, "This is great." This.
So the temptation there is to make this a regular spot for him.
I want
to
know Jim Cornette's thoughts.
Well, I'd imagine 400 personalityless drones have tagged him in it already. Yeah, so, yeah. But what do you think of this, Jim?
But I did have a look at the show to see what else was on it. In Samurai Del Sol, the former Kalisto, he wrestled.
He also had a baseball bat up his arse.
So he wrestled, and also there was a team called Team Sexy.
Did they face Team Baseball Bat up the arse?
We must have done. I bet they had a lovely time too. So yeah,
that's it.
A strange year for independent wrestling. Les Battersby and a baseball bat up the arse in 1 month.
Who knows? The two could be connected next year.
And next month, well, this month, December, Blobby's back.
Oh my God, Blobby's yeah. Back.
We still don't know who his tag team partner is, but...
So we're coming, yeah, we're coming
the
into...
The baseball bat.
Father. We're coming to the last month. Well, so next time we get together, it'll be the last month of 2023. The return of Mr. Blobby. More CM Punk stuff, no doubt.
We'll have to record it at the start of January. Simply because World's End on the 30th of December. And as we all know, New Year's... No one's working New Year's Eve.
No.
I'm not working New Year's Eve.
No, we're normal people.
Normal people aren't working New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it will be strange. This is the last time we've done this in 2023. Next time we're it'll be 2024.
Farewell to me. We'll do a year in review, but we'll be like, hey, wasn't 2023 a nice year?
You'll have the Cultaholic Year End Awards and stuff, and you'll have many other outlets to get year ending reviews, but we're going to do the December one, then roll into January and carry on regardless.
Well, there is a month in review, but it's on the YouTube channel.
There it is, isn't it? So there you go. Can watch it on there, can't you?
Save me a job.
Save you some kicks. That's it. All that's left for me to do is to thank Fraser Porter for joining us today. Thank you, Fraser. Anything you want to plug?
It's
today when this is going out.
It's going out on the 5th. We'll check out Worst Shows Ever. We did one for Survivor Series 1991. Check out the Golden Age documentary. It is Doc-cember right now. Yes. So check out
I wonder where they got that idea from.
Just check out every single documentary throughout this entire month. It's busy. Aiden.
Yes, I'm leaving too.
You're here.
Yeah.
Just keep going on the website. Check out Punkvember if you haven't already. Keep clicking because it's Christmas and I want some money.
That's a bar humbug. We did the epilogue for Punkvember. That is waiting for you on the YouTube channel. If you missed it this morning, I had a chat with Succubus, who is a wrestler from the UK scene.
Succubus?
Who has amassed 101,000 Instagram followers. 30 million views on TikTok.
Bloody hell.
But it only had one match.
Eh? What'd you do?
Well, you'll have to listen to the interview and find out more.
Oh, Christ.
So waiting for you on the podcast feed. And if you're a patron, it's on there right now. Tomorrow, exclusive Cultaholic interview with Claudio Castagnoli.
From the AEW.
Because Claudio's a big coffee guy. I ask him to describe each member of the Blackpool Combat Club as a type of coffee.
Interesting. I'm trying to think. Who
are they all brown?
No, they're all they're all brown coffees, but they're different senses, different flavors, different types, and different brews.
Danielson's definitely like a cortado.
Ooh, we didn't say cortado.
Ooh,
you have to listen to it.
John Mocky's an espresso because he hits you fucking hard.
Ah, that's not a bad shout. That you'll have to listen and find out tomorrow. It's on the podcast feed.
He's pumpkin spice latte.
It's the last thing he is. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the day and throughout the weeks, of course, check out cultaholic.com. And every time you read an article, you see an article on X, and make sure you reply with thank you, Aiden, because it's normally Aiden that's put it together. A big shout out to the rest of your news team as well.
Yes, they're all lovely people.
To Lewis House, to Jack Atkins, to Jack King.
Justin Henry
from Off of America.
Andrew Kelly
from our team as well. Massive thank you to you for making the cultaholic.com dreams come true.
Go on, Tom, take us out.
We have to put the song in now, aren't we? Yeah. You make my dreams come true. From the cultaholic.com month in review. We'll see you later, aggregator.
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.